The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
There have been many studies conducted indicating that anger is not good for you. It's not good to be angry. And if you are an angry person, you probably should get some help. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental, condemning way. Just realistic. If you have anger issues, you probably should get some help. It's terrible for the people around you, but it's not good for you either. Anger can be very detrimental to your health. With that said, however, there are things we should be angry about. Scripture says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, you may disagree with me on this, and I would imagine a whole lot of people would, but I think that verse is usually misinterpreted. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And that's usually interpreted as don't go to bed angry. And it's usually applied to couples. And by the way, I don't think it's good for you to go to bed angry, but that's not what the verse is saying. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. I think what it's meaning is there are things that should make you angry and the sun should not set on that. You should continue being angry at some things. There are some things that should cause outrage within us. There are some things we should be angry about. It's usually referred to as righteous indignation. We use that as a joke all the time to excuse our improper anger. Well, it's just righteous indignation. And usually it isn't. It's just fleshly anger. But there are times that we should be angry. There are things that should make us angry. Please don't forget, Jesus grew angry. He cursed the fig tree. When he went into the temple and cleansed the temple, Jesus did not go into the temple and go, "Hey guys, you know what? I really don't think that you should be selling this stuff here because that's just not cool. And do you think you guys can have a little business meeting and maybe decide not to corrupt my father's house anymore? I don't want to offend anybody. And if you could have a meeting and..." No, Jesus went in angry. He made a whip and he drove the money changers out. He flipped the table. He was angry. Jesus was angry. And it reminds me of this perception we have of Jesus, you know, that he walked around on a cloud. He didn't even walk. He just floated. You know, this is the perception many people have of Jesus. He just floated around on a cloud and was kind of effeminate. Hey, when Jesus came out of the belly of that boat and stood on the bow of the boat and addressed the storm, I honestly do not think Jesus said, "Hey, storm, stop it. You're blowing my hair. Settle down, storm." I believe Jesus was a man's man, and I think he looked into that storm and said, "Peace, be still." And as the song says, the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. All right, why did I go through all that? There is this story that came out yesterday that is causing a great deal of anger across America, and I hope and I pray that this anger continues. This is something that should make every one of us angry. And it's the case of this little 7-year-old boy in Texas who has, and I say this advisedly, he has a wicked mother. He has a wicked mother. The kid is 7 years old, and from testimony in court by the father of this boy, this woman, this mother, who is a doctor, when the kid was 3 years old, began telling him, again, this is according to court testimony from the father, that she would lock the boy in his room and tell him there's a monster that only eats little boys. That's what the mother told him. There's a monster that only eats little boys. If you're a little girl, you won't be eaten by the monster. He's 3 years old. Well, he's 3 years old. She's dressing him up in girly clothes. And when he's dressed in a dress, she loves him. When he's dressed as a boy, she won't love him. She won't give him any affection. The poor kid is warped from the time he's 3 years old. Well, if you've been following the case, she has been trying to transition this 7-year-old boy into a girl. Transitioning. The father is fighting it, and he went to court. And yesterday, a jury ruled in favor of the mother. It is beyond mind-blowing. And it is causing anger across America. There is a movement within the Texas legislature that I hope spreads all over America. The movement in the Texas legislature is to pass laws that will prohibit any child under the age of 18 to go through any medical treatment, hormone treatment, surgical treatment to transition from one gender to another. Why? Because they're too young to make these kind of decisions. Now, the father says the boy doesn't want to be a girl. He has been brainwashed and threatened by his mother. Now, I don't know, in these divorce settlements, you know, it's vicious, it's mean. But, all right, let's just say that this little 7-year-old boy actually wants to become a girl. The father says exactly the opposite. But let's say that he does. He wants to become a girl. And the mother, a doctor, wants to begin puberty blockers and so forth, and a 7-year-old does not possess the mental ability or the maturity to make life-changing decisions. I don't know about now, but several years ago, most 7-year-old boys either wanted to become a fireman or a policeman. What if we allowed a 7-year-old boy to decide, 7 years old, I want to be a fireman? And from that moment on, you say, all right, you will be a fireman, and for the rest of your life, that's the only thing you can become. Because when you were 7, you said you wanted to be a fireman, and so we're going to hold you to that for the rest of your life. It'd be ludicrous. It'd be ridiculous. And yet, our society and even people in the medical community are allowing 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old children make life-changing decisions that will impact them for the rest of their life. They do not have the ability to make those kind of choices. And yet a judge and jury ruled in favor of this mother. And as I said, anger is rising up all over America. Maybe. This case is so severe, so extreme, so radical, that maybe it will cause the American public to rise up and realize how horribly destructive and evil this children's transgender movement really is. It's evil, it's wicked, it is destructive. And maybe this case will cause enough anger across America that this movement will be exposed for what it is. We can certainly pray that way. It is, I assume the father is going to appeal the case, but the tragic thing, the kid is caught in the middle of this. It's unthinkable. And as I said, it should cause righteous indignation to rise up in all of us.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
All right, we got just a few minutes left. I just pulled up the call center for Bible League. And I've only mentioned this a couple times today. I'm not pushing real hard because we have far exceeded our goal. And I'm just so grateful. I am so thrilled. I am praising God for your generosity. Our goal was $6,000. We're at $11,490. We're $510 away from doubling our goal. And I keep saying this, and I mean this with all my heart. The important thing is not that we've met our goal or exceeded our goal. The important thing is that we get as many Bibles as we possibly can into the hands of the persecuted church around the world. And $5 provides a Bible for a persecuted Christian somewhere on this earth. And it's true. For most of these people, it will be the first Bible they have ever received in their life. And it will be their most precious possession for $5. Now, let me give you the number again, all right? We're $510 away from $12,000. You can call tonight. You can go online at thewordcolumbus.com. It would be incredible if tomorrow, when we begin the program, I could report to you that we have exceeded or at least met $12,000. We're $510 away. Somebody could put us over. Somebody who loves God, loves His Word, wants to help persecuted Christians. Somebody could call 800-YES-WORD, 800-937-9673. And put us over the $12,000 mark. $510. Maybe you could pledge $100, $50, $10. We're just so close. It would be wonderful if we could reach $12,000. 800-YES-WORD. 800-937-9673. I hope, I pray, I'll be able to report to you tomorrow. We have reached 12,000 or even more. That's up to you, folks. If we're done, if we're finished, what a victory. What an incredible Bible League campaign. It's wonderful. It's great. It's phenomenal. I am praising God. If we're done, that's great. But I just believe that there are some others. And God has brought you to the program today. Maybe you've been hearing me talk about it, and God has spoken to you. 800-YES-WORD, 800-937-9673. Or go to thewordcolumbus.com and click on the Bible League banner. This story, I hope I got time to treat this decently. Last week, the current Pope of the Catholic Church is causing enormous controversy within the Catholic Church. by far the most controversial pope in recent history. Many, many, many Catholics are not happy with this pope. Well, I reported to you last week that they had this bizarre ceremony at the Vatican where they actually had fertility statues from the Amazon. Pagan fertility goddess statues at the Vatican. Really? Yeah, it was to celebrate the ecology and the earth and so on and so forth. Well, a whole lot of Catholics were not happy. Well, as a result, some devout Catholics at the Vatican got those statues and threw them into the Tiber River. These are Catholics. In fact, here's the headline out of Vatican City. Naked fertility statues stolen, thrown in Tiber River amid idle debate at Catholic Synod at the Vatican. So these are Catholics. And, well, I'm not going to allow this to happen in my church. We're not going to have pagan statues at the Vatican. And so they stole them, threw them in the river. Well, I'm holding in my hand an editorial from the National Catholic Reporter, which is a far-left Catholic news source. It is Catholic, but it's far-left. Editorial: desecration of Amazonian mother statues was a racist act. And it's a multi-page editorial from a Catholic source condemning these people who stole the pagan statues and threw them in the river. And guess whose fault it was? Trump. I'm not making this up. Again, this is from the National Catholic Reporter. I jump to page 4. What is going on? It's the Trumpification of a segment of the conservative Catholic community. Our vulgar president, who traffics in racial epithets and the demonization of minorities, has given permission to racists to strut their stuff, to place their hatefulness on display, to videotape it, and then shop it on the internet. So, according to the National Catholic Reporter, the person to blame for these naked fertility statues to be stolen and thrown into the river is none other than Donald Trump himself. You can't make this kind of stuff up, folks. I mean, you can't. You can't make that up. As I said, this pope has brought more controversy and I think division within the Catholic Church and any pope in recent history. And it's deeply dividing the conservatives and the liberals within the church. But it's Trump's fault. Oh, my goodness. Hey, folks, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I hope you're in a good church tonight for Wednesday night services. But wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.